strategic planning. Okay, we all know it's essential, right? Whether it's personal stuff or big company goals.
Absolutely. You need that direction.
But let's be honest, sometimes it feels, well, a bit overwhelming, like wading through fog.
Yeah, it can definitely feel abstract or, you know, overly complex.
So today, we want to slow things down a bit, take a more reflective look.
Exactly. Because getting that clarity, that strategic direction, it doesn't have to be this really rigid, scary process. There are other ways.
And that's where this idea comes in. The fairy tale plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, don't immediately think castles and dragons, although maybe a few dragons to slay strategically.
Yeah, perhaps. But the idea is it uses that familiar story structure, you know, goals, challenges, how you overcome them, to make planning feel more intuitive.
More human, maybe. So our mission today is to really dive into this, figure out how the fairy tale plan works, and especially how we can use it for, say, designing AI in a way that truly centers on the user.
And what's really interesting is how it connects with, well, how our brains are wired, isn't it? We get stories. They make sense to us. So applying that narrative logic to strategy can make it much clearer.
Yeah, a deeper understanding. And we really want you listening to be part of this.
We do. We want to unpack this whole method together.
We'll also touch on how this fairy tale plan connects surprisingly well with the double diamond design process.
Right, which is a really solid framework for tackling complex problems.
So think of the fairy tale as helping guide us through that structured journey. Before we jump into the components, what are your initial thoughts? Maybe something popping up already. Use the interactive mode, jump in, join our conversation.
Well, I think the beauty of the fairy tale plan is its simplicity, but it's a profound simplicity. It really breaks strategy down into five core parts, asking these fundamental questions, like signposts in a story.
Okay, let's get into the first one, objectives. So in our strategic fairy tale, this is the happily ever after, right?
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
The questions are key. What are we really trying to achieve here? What happens if we, well, if we fail?
Mm-hmm, the stakes.
And this one really makes you think. If there were zero roadblocks, absolutely nothing stopping us, what's the very next thing we'd do strategically right now?
Oh, I like that last one. That no roadblocks question.
Right.
It really cuts through the immediate we can't because excuses, doesn't it?
Yeah, it forces you to focus on the pure aspiration.
Exactly. What's that ideal future state we're aiming for? That's the core of our happily ever after.
Okay, so we have our destination. Now, obstacles. Every good story needs them. The challenges, the things in the way.
The dragons, the enchanted forests.
Right. So the questions are direct. What is actually standing in our way? What makes achieving those objectives so difficult?
And this is where, you know, we have to be honest, really honest.
One of our sources mentions Einstein, doesn't it? About spending most of your time.
Understanding the problem, yeah. Not just jumping to the solution. It's so tempting to jump ahead, but you need that deep dive into the obstacles first.
Because if you don't truly grasp the problem,
your solutions might be, well, off target, superficial, maybe. You're not addressing the root cause. It's about facing the difficult stuff. Key insight here. Really invest your time in understanding the problem itself. What do you think about that? Does that resonate? Use interactive mode and tell us.
Makes sense. Okay, objectives, obstacles. Next up, actions. How does our hero, our strategy, actually overcome these things?
How do we slay the dragon, navigate the forest?
Exactly. So questions like, how do we tackle these obstacles while moving towards our objectives, using what we've actually got right now, our current capabilities?
Mm-hmm. Realistic actions.
And also, what changes, maybe fundamental shifts in how we're thinking or operating, might make the solution suddenly seem obvious.
That's about unlocking new possibilities, isn't it? Thinking differently.
And this is where that rocks, pebbles, and sand idea comes in too, right?
Yeah.
Focus on the big, impactful actions, the rocks, not just lots of little things.
Yes, that analogy is spot on. Prioritization is everything here. You can't do it all. What are the few key actions that will make the biggest difference in overcoming those obstacles and reaching those objectives?
Making deliberate choices. Got it. Then comes measures. How do we know if we're actually making progress? Is the hero winning?
How do we know the story is moving forward?
Yeah, so how will we know objectively if we're making progress? And how will we define success? What will look tangibly different when we get there?
And that's crucial, thinking about both the hard numbers, the objective metrics, but also the qualitative side. How will things feel different? What changes will we see?
So it's not just hitting a target number, it's the overall shift.
Exactly. Both paint the full picture of success. It helps to really visualize that end state.
Okay, last one, and this always feels a bit counterintuitive at first. not doing.
Ah, yes, the power of no.
Right. The question is, what important things have we consciously decided not to do right now, specifically to maintain focus? Warren Buffett's name often comes up here.
Mm-hmm. Focus is key. The not doing list is about strategic discipline. It's clarifying what's off the table, for now at least.
So it manages expectations.
Manages expectations, protects your resources, keeps everyone laser focused on the main goal, the rocks. Key insight. Saying no isn't negative, it's a powerful strategic choice. What are your thoughts on these five parts? Do they feel like a logical flow? Let us know. Use that interactive mode.
So objectives, obstacles, actions, measures, and not doing. It really does feel like a narrative arc, doesn't it?
It does. And you see how they link together. Each part informs the next. Defining the objective helps you spot the obstacles. Understanding the obstacles shapes your actions, and so on. It creates this coherent story for your strategy.
It makes it less abstract, maybe more memorable.
Definitely more memorable and more engaging, I think. It taps into that storytelling part of our brains.
Okay, so that's the framework itself. Now, how does this connect to something more, well, process-driven, like the Double Diamond?
That's a really interesting connection. The fairy tale plan isn't just floating out there on its own. Some of the thinking suggests it's actually a really effective way to execute the Double Diamond process, especially when you're doing strategic planning.
Okay, quick refresher on the Double Diamond for anyone who maybe hasn't used it much.
Mm-hmm.
Developed by the Design Council. Four phases.
That's right. Discover, define, develop, and deliver. It looks like two diamonds shape-wise on paper.
Right. And the first diamond is about understanding the problem.
Exactly. Discover is broad exploration, understanding the context, the users, the issues. Then define narrows it down to the core problem you're actually going to solve. So diverging, then converging.
And the second diamond.
That's about the solution. Develop is diverging again, brainstorming, creating potential solutions. And deliver is converging once more, testing, refining, and implementing the best solution.
Okay, so problem space, then solution space.
Yeah.
How does our fairy tale plan map onto that? It seems like there's a natural fit.
There really is. Think about it. The objectives are happily ever after. And the obstacles, the challenges, where do they fit?
That sounds like the first diamond, right?
Yeah.
Discovering the situation and defining the core challenge.
Precisely. In Discover, you're asking, what's the story's beginning? Where are we now? Where do we want to end up?
Yeah.
That's your objective setting. Then in Define, you're figuring out the main conflict. What's the big hurdle? That's identifying your obstacles. Key insight. The story starts by really understanding the what and the why of the strategic challenge. Does that mapping make sense to you? Use interactive mode.
Yeah, that clicks. So then the actions part of the fairy tale plan, how our hero actually does something.
That lines up beautifully with the develop phase of the Double Diamond. You're generating ways to overcome the obstacles, creating potential solutions or strategies.
Makes sense. Brainstorming the ways forward. And finally,
measures and not doing. How do we know the hero succeeded, and what paths did they choose not to take? That fits squarely into the deliver phase. Implementing the chosen actions, measuring the impact, and managing the scope by knowing what's not included.
Our fairy tale prompt source even gives examples, like specific questions for each phase using the story lens. Like, for discover, describe the current kingdom. For define, what is the dragon we must slay?
Exactly. And for develop, what are all the possible magic swords or clever plans? And deliver. How will we know the kingdom is saved? What treasures did we leave behind?
It really shows how that narrative structure makes the Double Diamond feel less like a dry process flowchart and more.
More tangible. More systematic, maybe, but in an intuitive way. It gives you relatable hooks for both that expansive creative thinking and the focused analytical thinking you need.
So thinking back on maybe past strategic planning efforts.
Yeah.
Does this connection resonate? Does structuring it like a story around the Double Diamond feel helpful? Let us know your thoughts. Interactive mode is open.
It's just a compelling idea, isn't it? Adding that intuitive story layer onto a proven process like the Double Diamond.
Yeah, less rigid methodology, more unfolding narrative. Okay, let's take this powerful combo now and think about applying it to something really current and complex, AI design.
Ah, yes. This is where a structured yet narrative approach like the fairy tale plan could be incredibly valuable, especially if we're serious about keeping AI human-centered.
Absolutely. And our sources remind us there are two really fundamental questions we need to keep asking with AI. First, will AI genuinely make this product or service better?
Not just different, but better.
And second, maybe even more critical, how specifically will it benefit the user? These go right back to the objectives in our fairy tale plan for any AI project, don't they?
They absolutely do. These questions force us to justify using AI based on real value delivered to people. It's about responsible innovation, not just tech for tech's sake.
Okay, now thinking about obstacles in AI, fairness, inclusion, bias, these are huge ones.
Massive, and critical to address proactively.
Our sources on fairness and inclusion talk about practical ways to spot bias, right? Like looking at how the AI performs for different groups, checking the data it learned from.
Yeah, analyzing approval rates across demographics, scrutinizing the features the model relies on. And importantly, they also suggest mitigation strategies using diverse data sets, building in fairness rules, constant monitoring after deployment.
Because if you don't actively fight bias,
you risk creating AI that harms people or reinforces existing inequalities. It's a major ethical obstacle in the AI fairy tale. Key insight. Designing fair AI requires deliberate effort and constant vigilance. What are your experiences or concerns around AI bias? Use interactive mode.
So once we're tackling those obstacles, what about the actions with AI? A key decision seems to be how the AI will function. Will it automate tasks completely or augment human abilities?
That's a crucial distinction. Our AI design FAQs source gives good examples, like a chatbot fully handling a simple query versus an AI tool helping a doctor analyze scans. Automation versus augmentation.
And choosing between those is like deciding how the hero in our story will use their magic or tools, isn't it? Directly replacing something or enhancing something.
Exactly. And that choice has big implications for the user experience, for people's sense of control, for the skills needed in the future. It's a core strategic action.
Then measures. How do we measure success with AI? It gets technical, right? Precision versus recall.
Right, that trade-off. Minimizing false positives versus minimizing false negatives. Which is more important depends entirely on the context. Is it worse to wrongly flag something safe or miss something dangerous?
And confidence scores, too. How sure is the AI about its answer?
Vital for knowing when to trust the AI and when a human needs to intervene. Understanding these technical measures is key to evaluating if our AI action is actually working as intended.
And, of course, the not doing list for AI strategy. What AI things might we deliberately choose not to build right now?
Maybe because the tech isn't ready, or the data isn't good enough, or perhaps there are ethical red flags we can't resolve yet.
Or it just doesn't serve the core user-focused objective we set at the start.
Precisely. Restraint is a sign of mature, responsible AI strategy. Concentrate on doing a few things well and ethically.
Okay, one last interesting AI concept from our sources. Synthetic personas. AI-generated user profiles.
Intriguing idea, yeah.
Could these potentially help in the discover phase? Maybe give some initial ideas about users when you're starting to map out the objectives and obstacles for an AI project?
Potentially, yes. As a starting point, a hypothesis generator. But our sources rightly stress you absolutely must validate these with real people.
Right, that core human-centered design principle. Spend time with actual users. AI personas can't replace that.
Never. Relying solely on synthetic data is dangerous. You risk baking in biases or completely missing the nuances of real human experience. Key insight. AI can inform user understanding, but genuine human interaction is irreplaceable. What are your thoughts on using AI like this? Let us know via interactive mode.
So, as you're listening, think about your own work or interests. How could framing your AI strategy using this fairy tale plan, objectives, obstacles, actions, measures, not doing, help you be more thoughtful, more user-centric? Use that interactive mode. Share your ideas.
It really gives you that structure for critical thinking, doesn't it? It pushes you beyond just the tech possibilities to consider the purpose, the challenges, the impact, the ethics, all within a framework that makes intuitive sense.
It does pull it all together. The real power here seems to be that blend intuitive storytelling meets a structured approach like the Double Diamond.
And by consistently asking those five core questions, what's the goal? What's in the way? How do we overcome it? How do we measure success? What are we leaving aside? You gain so much clarity.
Clarity and focus, which is exactly what you need for complex strategic work, especially with something like AI.
Definitely.
And always keeping that human-centered view at the heart of it, thinking about everyone involved, aiming for ethical, positive outcomes.
That has to be the foundation. Considering the broader impact, not just the immediate function, it's more critical than ever with AI's reach.
So here's a final thought to chew on. What if you started framing all your planning, not just the big strategic stuff, using this kind of narrative approach? Thinking about your challenges and goals as unfolding stories, How might that change how you tackle things, how you communicate your vision? We'd love your perspectives on this. Use the interactive mode button. You can interrupt us anytime.
Yeah, that's a great question. Could thinking in fairy tales unlock new ways to approach problems, foster better collaboration, and lead to solutions that are ultimately more meaningful and human? Something to reflect on.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the fairy tale plan.
Mm-hmm.
We hope this slower, more reflective session gave you some valuable food for thought.
We hope it sparked some ideas for your own strategic journeys.
Definitely explore these concepts more if they resonated. Think about how you might weave this narrative approach into your work or life. And as always, we love hearing from you. Feedback, ideas for future deep dives, it's all welcome.